The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, fresh, if that's the word, from Beijing, Professor Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College of Dublin, just back from China.
Just back this morning, landed at 7 a.m. from Beijing. The direct flight, by the way, from Beijing to Dublin, which is very handy.
Very handy.
10-hour flight, but I slept on the flight. I'm all right.
Which is great. Okay, now talk to me about the latest research into whether it was a lab leak or something that happened in the wet market in Wuhan.
Yes, well, being in China, Pat, a lot of discussion said about COVID-19, obviously, with all kinds of people, including immunologists who I met there. But a big paper came out last week that we were all talking about, more evidence it was the market, basically. And secondly, exotic animals in the market were the source of the virus. Now, as you well know, the alternative is a lab leak. They're the two sort of situations.
So how persuasive is the evidence about the market?
It's pretty convincing, actually. Yeah, I mean, it's like a smoking gun type thing. So they took swabs in the market. And in 2020, by the way, loads of swabs were taken of all the surfaces in the west part of the market. It began in the west part of this Hunan seafood market. Loads of swabs, drains were sampled, surfaces of all kinds were sampled. And they measured the DNA of these exotic animals in those swabs. And they found DNA for all these exotic animals that were known to be on sale there anyway. Yeah. The raccoon dog, for instance, being one of them. You know, the Reeves muntjac, the Himalayan marmot. You know, I've never heard of these things. The Malayan porcupine. So they found evidence that those exotic animals were in the market.
Yeah.
And more importantly, they found evidence of the virus on some of the same swabs. So they could detect the SARS-CoV-2 virus on the same swab.
So SARS-CoV-2 was there when they were there.
Absolutely. That's the key finding, that at the same time the virus gets detected on a surface and you can also pick up some of this DNA from these exotic animals. Of course, they couldn't tell if the animal was infected, that the DNA wouldn't reveal that.
Yeah.
But certainly it's this alignment of these exotic animal DNA and the viral DNA in the same sample or in a closely linked sample would suggest it came from the animals. Any sensible person would conclude the virus must have come from
the
animal.
The virus, of course, has changed over the years. It's mutated over the years, but this is the original virus that we all became terrified of.
Yeah, that's the second thing they found that's really convincing as well. It's the same age as the virus that infected humans. They can age viruses, by the way. And the reason is the virus will mutate every time it divides at a certain rate. And the number, the older it is, the less mutations there are, if you know what I mean. So in other words, the mutation rate gives the age of the virus. And lo and behold, the samples are the same age as the virus that was first detected in humans that were infected from that market. So again, that's circumstantial evidence that the market was the source of it.
Metagenomics.
Yes, great name, isn't it? That's right.
Yeah.
Well, it's very clever. I mean, how do you detect different species in DNA? You sequence the DNA. And you do genomics, and each animal has a specific set of genes that makes that animal, you know, a muntjac or whatever it might be. And then you can detect, you can identify what the animal is the technique. So it's very elaborate, really. They reckon it's the biggest ever, Pat, analysis of DNA post-pandemic ever done. That's how exhaustive this study has been. And real credit then to the scientists for doing it.
Also, the city itself was a huge city. I mean, a lot of places we've never heard of in India and in China.
Yep.
Are actually enormous cities. You think it might be a village, but it's not. It's a massive place.
Yeah.
And some of the COVID that was found was actually found close to the market.
Well, it's 12 million people live in Wuhan, right? A third of the first 174 samples were guys working in the market. That's the first thing, right? And many of the others had links to the market. They might not work there, but they live nearby. Now, again, that's more evidence that it must have come from the market. And it was a great... The first person, did you know, Pat, to be detected was a 57-year-old woman. She worked on a shellfish stall in the market, and they reckon that's the first person who tested positive for SARS-CoV-2. They interviewed her, right? She said she was sharing a toilet with the people working on the exotic animal stalls.
Okay,
there's a series of stalls there selling these really exotic animals and they were sharing this facility. So, because again, you don't need to be a genius to think, oh, maybe she went into that toilet and picked up the virus. Now, she says that's where she caught it from, you know. And again, that adds more evidence. As ever, it's all circumstantial, you know. But when you add it all up together, though, you come
now,
to a conclusion.
You know, eating animals is big in the news with the Haitians, according to J.D. Vance and Trump, eating cats and dogs. And Trump went on to include geese in the equation. But the Chinese do eat some extraordinary stuff.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, what strikes me is that's their right to eat things if they wish, Pat, isn't it? You know, there's the hoary bamboo rat, another strange animal that was in the market, for example, you know. And amazingly, Pat, it's a $50 billion market in exotic animals. Now, China's a big country.
Yeah.
There's loads of these markets everywhere, it seems. And it's a $50 billion trade. Now, of course, that gives rise to the question, well, I shut the markets down. and stop this happening again is one big thing here. But yet it's a massive thing for Chinese people to eat these exotic animals, and it's part of their diet, I suppose. But it's still, the risk is, as we're discussing, an exotic virus.
The bat itself is not a problem for us.
No, the bat, they weren't selling bats. There was no bat DNA found in the samples. Not surprising. They don't sell bats in that market. Again, that made sense. And of course, we know the closest relative was in the bat. The theory now, Pat, is, by the way, it jumped from a bat into a raccoon dog. That's the current idea. Raccoon dogs got infected and it changed and then became SARS-CoV-2.
You found the Chinese a bit mortified about the whole thing, a bit embarrassed.
It was disturbing, Pat, actually, because I had a dinner one night, not with scientists. There's a guy in my lab.
I'm not eating hoary baboons.
They did give me sea cucumber, which was very difficult to eat, but I take with a set of chopsticks and I had to eat it. Otherwise, I would have insulted my host, you know. But one of my PhD students is from Beijing, and his mother very kindly took me out for dinner, which is great, and his uncle. And I asked them, what was it like? And they said, it's very sad. Many people died. The big thing was the lockdown, 3-year lockdown in some of these cities, Pat, in China. Can you imagine being locked down for that length of time? 6 months here, really stringently enforced. And the uncle said to me, massive mental health consequences of this. And they're seeing it now in China, huge mental health problems for people who are locked down for so long. And even worse, when they get released from lockdown, then there's carnage, remember. The crematoriums are full of dead bodies. The hospitals are packed. You know, so in other words, the lockdown didn't work, basically. And then that caused all this suffering. This is the view of the uncle I was speaking to.
Now, it's mutated many times, but it hasn't gone away.
It hasn't gone away. Well, it's still here. Obviously, it keeps mutating all the time. Yeah. The latest variant now, again, seems to be even more transmissible. But again, that's not that surprising. Viruses are always changing, really. You know, and luckily enough, the current vaccines will still protect you against from severe disease. Yeah. They mightn't stop you getting infected, of course, but they stop you getting really sick. So the vaccines are still working against
it. Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College Dublin. Thank you very much for reporting from China.
Thanks, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.